We don't look to the Anne Voskamps and the Beth Moores of the world for what it means to be a Christian woman.
Adrian Dorheinz talking about her presentation at this summer's Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference.
We look first to Jesus, and his word tells us that a godly woman is marked by things like repentance and piety, humility and grace. And ultimately, this kind of woman lives a really full life in faith. She has Christ's name on her, she receives all the blessings he has to give, and she rejoices in those. That's what the life of a baptized woman looks like, and that's who the Lord has created us as his daughters to be.
You can meet and hear Adrian Dorheinz, Making the Case for Biblical Womanhood, Friday, June 10th and Saturday, June 11th at the Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference in Collinsville, Illinois. For more information, visit issuesetc.org or call 618-223-8385. The Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference, June 10th and 11th in Collinsville, Illinois.
I'm not surprised that Mr. Trump found Norman Vincent Peale's sermons memorable and substantial, because nothing that he has said has been any more memorable or substantial.
If there isn't a real death on the cross for our sins and a real resurrection to show that death is overwhelmed in victory, then forget it. There is no point in messing with Christian faith whatsoever. Go and join the Rotary Club.
Adam and Eve ate the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Now there's a better tree of the knowledge of good and evil, the tree of the cross. And we eat the fruit of that tree. We receive our Lord in the Lord's Supper.
Indiana Truck Drivers Love Issues, etc.
There are Sundays where I guess I could understand a bored preacher, a pastor who's kind of sick of preaching on the Bible, decides he's going to preach on something else. Or maybe he'll still bring the Bible with him into the pulpit or up to the stage, wherever he's doing his preaching. Kind of, you got to have your Bible with you, right? He might even open it and read a perfunctory verse, but he's going to preach what he wants to preach. But Easter Sunday morning, kind of, well, it more or less forces a pastor to acknowledge that there's a central message to Scripture, and that maybe, just maybe this one Sunday, he might want to preach that central message, the death and the resurrection of Jesus for the salvation of sinners like you and me, that Jesus did all of this, dying and rising again for us and for our salvation, for the forgiveness of sins. You wouldn't think that a preacher could mess up Easter Sunday morning. Welcome back to Issues Etc. We're coming to you live from the studios of Lutheran Public Radio in Collinsville, Illinois. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. We're going to do a little This Week in Pop American Christianity. Today we'll talk about evangelical Easter messages. Pastor Chris Roseborough, Fighting for the Faith, will be our guest a little bit later. Since it's Friday, we're going to play a little game with you. We like to play with our listeners at the end of the broadcast week. That's Issues Etc. Soundbite of the Week. We'll play four soundbites for you. You'll listen, then you give us a call, 1-877-623-MYIE. 877-623-6943. You'll send us an email with your vote. talkback@issuesetc.org or a tweet at issuesetc. You can also vote in advance at our Facebook fan page. We've left space there for you. Facebook.com/issuesetc. Facebook.com/issuesetc. Issues Etc. Soundbite of the Week in about 35 minutes. In the meantime, Pastor Chris Roseborough joins us for This Week in Pop American Christianity. He's pastor of Consfinger Lutheran Church in Oslo, Minnesota, host of a daily internet talk show called Fighting for the Faith. Chris, welcome back.
Thanks for having me back, Todd.
Okay, really, it's like falling off a log. Easter Sunday morning, everything screaming, the death and resurrection of Jesus for the salvation and forgiveness of sinners like you and me. You can't mess it up, can you?
Yeah, actually, you can. And for the past, 7 years on my radio program, we actually hold a contest, and we call it the Worst Easter Sermon of the Year contest. And over and over and over again, we receive listener submissions from all over the world, literally, of pastors who, for whatever reason, really can't grasp the obvious, and that is that Easter is about what Christ has done for us. It's the pinnacle, central event of all of Christianity. It's the thing that distinguished Christianity from the rest of any of the world's religion, that our God was incarnate of the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, and then suffers under Pontius Pilate, is crucified, died, and then literally bodily raises from the grave. And all of this, as the Nicene Creed says, is for our sins and for our salvation. And you would think that this would be, you know, the Sunday that, like, nobody would get it wrong. But what we're finding, in especially in evangelicalism, is that fewer and fewer and fewer pastors, vision casting leaders, CEOs, or church leaders, or whatever they are, that they're even getting it right. And over and again, what we find is that the narcissism of our general culture has crept in not only into the Christian church, but has actually taken over the pulpit. So that what ends up happening is that the stories of the accounts, the historical narratives of the resurrection of Christ, turn into parable and allegory and metaphor, and ultimately the stories there are really actually about us, not about what Christ has done for us.
And this is the same group of pastors who will often talk about Easter Sunday morning, particular Easter Sunday morning is their Super Bowl, their one big opportunity in the year to reach the unreached, the people who never come to church, with the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's irony.
Yeah, no, that's exactly right. You listen to their leadership podcast, you read their books. I mean, this is like the Sunday of Sundays for them, you know, because if it's all about growing the church, then, you know, it's like shooting fish in a barrel. I mean, there's a lot of pagans who will go to church if you ask them to go to church on Easter Sunday. And the seeker-driven vision-casting leaders, they all know this. And so they make a big deal in all of their communication, in the weeks leading up to their Easter service is about bringing your friends. They'll spend tens of thousands of dollars on mailers and you know, advertising in order to get people into their big box churches. And when they arrive, though, these unbelievers arrive, they're not hearing a clear proclamation of Christ crucified for our sins, nor are they hearing that the call of the gospel imperatives to repent and to be forgiven or repent and be baptized for the forgiveness of their sins. They're not hearing any of that, and yet all of these seeker-driven guys will talk about how many so-called salvations there were at their big-box churches on Easter Sunday, and you're asking the question, after hearing their message, how can anybody have actually been brought to penitent faith in Christ through these types of messages? It just doesn't make any sense.
Well, Chris, you brought samples, some examples of what you're talking about here.
Yeah.
What are we going to hear?
Okay, we're going to listen to two people. One is relatively unknown, but I picked him because he does what I consider like one of the most typical moves that you see in many evangelical Easter sermons now. And this is a gentleman by the name of Jason Blair. He's the teaching pastor at New Life Bible Fellowship Church in Ole, Pennsylvania. And watch what he does with the stone that was in front of Jesus' tomb. That's the best way to set it up.
The truth is, the facts are, not just the Bible, but we know in history, the truth is that he died like any condemned criminal, humiliated on a Roman cross. He was crucified. Crucified, actually, in the company of thieves. He was buried without proper preparation. That's what the ladies are going to do, because the religious holiday was fast approaching when he passed away. May I suggest to you that maybe, just maybe, I know the Bible says that Jesus, you know, he didn't rot. I think that's, it's in the, you know, it's more poetic, but let me just imagine. Maybe Jesus' rotting flesh would become a stench or would start to decompose in his human body in an otherwise, what we know is an unknown tomb. We don't know exactly where that was, sealed off forever by a very large stone. Essentially, I mean, what does that mean? Well, essentially, it dashed the dreams of his followers, the people who needed liberation and peace so badly. What's the application? Well, I'm just going to ask you, how many of our dreams and our hopes and longings are interrupted by, at the very least, pernicious stones in our path? I mean, for some, right, for some, the stones, maybe little stones, can be a sickness or a disappointment or a betrayal. They can be the little stones, you know, just like the one you hold in your hand or that you were given when you came into worship this morning. They slow our progress or they frustrate your way. You know, some rocks can be more detrimental and devastating, like the loss of a loved one, like infertility, like abuse, like abandonment, like injustice. Those are the rocks that can seriously discourage or confuse you.
All right, Chris, what did he do there? Walk us through it.
Okay, so he took the historical narrative of the account of Jesus' resurrection, which includes the historical detail that Jesus was laid in a tomb, a first century, tomb in Jerusalem, and that there was a large stone rolled over the entrance to his tomb. And so rather than noting the fact, and I mean this, really highlighting the fact that the dead guy walked out of the grave and that, you know, and there was an angel who rolled the stone away, I mean, all important details, what he's done is he's allegorized the stone. And so because the disciples of Jesus had their dreams dashed, and there was a stone rolled in front of the tomb of Jesus. So that stone represents the obstacles in your life that are dashing your dreams. Do you have the dream of being a parent someday? But you might have the stone of infertility rolled in front of you, keeping you from achieving the dream of fertility and having children. You might be suffering from, maybe cancer. Maybe the stone of cancer has rolled in front of your life, dashing your dreams of living until you're 90 years old. It's just absolutely fascinatingly bizarre what they're ending up doing, because ultimately this way of handling Scripture makes it so that the resurrection account isn't about Jesus and him rising from the grave. It's really ultimately about you and you somehow seeing this as kind of like Aesop's fable. There's a moral to the story so that you need to apply it in your life so that you can achieve better results in your life, if you would, or have a better perspective on what is happening to you. And it's absolutely bizarre, because Jesus' resurrection has nothing whatsoever to do with what this type of reading would have you think it's talking about.
What's next, Chris?
All right, next, Perry Noble. We're going to listen to three sound bites from Perry Noble. And the first one is to kind of set this up. Perry Noble, at the beginning of his Easter sermon, made it very clear that the message that he was preaching was actually given to him by God himself.
I am pumped. Now, let me tell you how this is going to go today. Let me tell you how this is going to go. I had this other message prepared, and I thought it was good. But I was preaching it Friday night. And I was standing right here. I'm not making this up. Standing right here. And the Lord spoke to my heart and said, "We're going a different direction tomorrow." And I was like, "Oh, come on. Not on Easter, God. Because this is a good message." And he said, "No, it's not." And so we kind of went back and forth a little bit. And so he took me a different direction last night. So you have an outline on your fan, and just use it to fan yourself.
Okay, so he's breaking from his script, and he claims that God had a new script. Is he claiming here, despite his kind of humorous way of doing it, that he has received a direct divine inspiration and revelation from the Holy Spirit?
That's exactly what he's claiming, that God is the one who put it on his heart to preach this message. He actually had a different message prepared, even so much so that, the program for the show at New Spring, had a different outline, sermon outline, and they just had to completely abandon that. And so the message that he delivered, he claims God is the one who gave it to him, and so this is the message that God wanted the people at New Spring and those who listen online for them to hear for Easter.
All right, we're going to hear the rest of what Perry Noble has to say. He claims God told him to say in his Easter sermon when we come back from this break. Pastor Chris Roseboro is our guest. He's pastor of Consfinger Lutheran Church in Oslo, Minnesota, host of the daily internet talk show called Fighting for the Faith. We'll be right back.
Thank you. Have you been too busy to get your associate's, bachelor's, or master's degree? Concordia University, Wisconsin offers 50 online educational options. Find out more at issuesetc.org. Click the Concordia University online logo and enter the program code ISSUES to waive your application fee. Concordia University, Wisconsin is here to strengthen and support the church. Lifelong Lutheran Learning. issuesetc.org and click Concordia University, Wisconsin online.
Your pastor has been called to shepherd you as a member of Christ's flock. Doxology offers an innovative program of advanced study retreats where your pastor can be refreshed, renewed, and refocused. Find out more at doxology.us. Many pastors report that doxology has been one of the most valuable learning experiences since seminary. Doxology, the Lutheran Center for Spiritual Care and Counsel. Doxology.us. Doxology.us.
It's not about you. It's about Jesus for you. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
LCMS Disaster Response provides guidance and assistance to congregations who seek to proclaim the gospel and show mercy in the wake of disasters. We can bring capacity to your congregation through on-site assessment, volunteer training and congregation preparedness, and through grants direct to your congregation. For more information, follow us on Facebook, keyword LCMS Disaster Response, or visit our website at lcms.org/disaster. That's lcms.org/disaster.
Greetings in Christ, and thank you for listening to Issues, Etc. If you ever find yourself visiting the Smoky Mountains in East Tennessee, please join us here at St. Paul Lutheran Church in Sevierville. We see it as a small part of our service to the church to provide sound liturgical worship opportunities for vacationing Lutherans to our area. For worship times and directions, please visit our website at splctn.com. That's splctn.com.
Our pastors uphold the rights of the spiritual priesthood and encourage them in every way to exercise those profound rights. By the same token, those very lay people love and cherish and treasure the office of pastor.
Why is it that I know for certain that a member or a congregant, that his son will be a fan of the same team he is, but I'm not as certain that his son will be in church in 20 years?
You're treating the child as if it is intrinsically valuable. And yet, that doesn't mean that the fetus is not something that the woman can destroy for her own interest, which means that it is both priceless and worthless at the same time.
If it didn't really happen, if Ehrman is right, then your salvation isn't worth two hoots.
In about 15 minutes, we're going to play Issues, Etc. Soundbite of the Week. We'll play four sound bites, and then you call, you send an email, you send us a tweet, or you go to our Facebook fan page, and you vote for Issues, Etc. Soundbite of the Week, 1-877-623-MYIE. Talk back at issuesetc.org, our Twitter address at issuesetc, and our Facebook fan page, facebook.com/issuesetc. It's This Week in Pop American Christianity. We are listening to some evangelical Easter messages. Pastor Chris Roseborough is our guest. What Perry Noble did there before the break in that little opening bite that we played from him is not unusual, claiming to have heard something directly from God. But lots of guys are doing this, aren't they?
Yeah, no, this is a common practice, and it's growing in its use. And it starts off so simple, and so it sounds so pious, and so it's like, you know, I was going to do this, but God laid this on my heart, and he and I had a conversation about it. So the message you're going to get, this is directly from God. I mean, this is even more fresh than any biblical revelation that you can get from, you know, like something as crusty and old as your Bible. So, I mean, this is a message and an interpretation of the Easter account that Perry Noble claims, no joke, by saying what he said, claims is inspired by God the Holy Spirit himself.
Everybody in this room knows what it's like to live in uncertainty, but don't miss this. Uncertainty is nothing more than a guarantee that we can't live without Jesus. Uncertainty is nothing more than a guarantee that we can't live without Jesus. One of the biggest lies we've been told in the church for years and years and years is God will never put more on you than you can handle. It's not true. It's not true. The Bible says he will not let us be tempted beyond what we can bear. But if God did not allow from time to time uncertainty to well up in our life, how in the world would we ever recognize our need for Jesus? Because in this text right here, the Bible says after the Sabbath. See, Mary and the other Mary, they saw Jesus crucified on Friday. They saw it. On Saturday, though, it's called the Sabbath. And by law, they had to rest. They couldn't go anywhere. They couldn't do anything. They had to sit in the silence of Saturday and wait on Sunday. And in the silence of Saturday, they were uncertain. Now, don't judge them, because you would have been too. Because we believe, the reason I believe the resurrection is because I've read about it. But they were living in it. And because they were living in it, they had never seen anybody pull that off. And so I'm not sure they were 100% convinced. So on Saturday, after the Sabbath, on Saturday, they had to sit in the silence of their situation and wait. And maybe that's where you are in your life right now. Maybe you've been at a place in your life where you've seen God move over here. And you think God can do something right here. But today, right now, you're sitting in the silence of Saturday. But don't miss this. The mundaneness of Saturday led to the miracle on Sunday. And maybe if you are in an uncertain situation in your life right now, God's getting ready to pull off a miracle in your life like you wouldn't even imagine. He just wants you to hold on in the silence of Saturday so you can experience the miracle of Sunday.
This isn't even allegorizing, Chris. This goes beyond allegorizing into something else.
Yeah, this is a form of what I call narcissistic eisegesis. But I mean, this is absolutely bizarre. Number one, him claiming that uncertainty shows our need for a savior. It's actually our sin that shows our need for the savior. And Romans 3 makes this very clear that one of the primary purposes of the law. In fact, as Lutherans, we would argue like the main function of the law is to accuse us and show us of what our sin is, and because of that, that shows our need for the savior. But what he did here is so bizarre in this sense is that. He's literally making a promise from God. And the promise is if you're experiencing uncertainty in your life right now, that maybe, just maybe, what God is planning on doing is pulling off a Hail Mary miracle for you. And, because the mundaneness of the uncertainty of Saturday gives way to the miracle of Sunday. But the reality is that Christ's death and resurrection has something so much more powerful to offer to us, and it's actually a sure and certain promise from God. And the promise is of the forgiveness of our sins and eternal life. And those are absolute promises for the one who believes and trusts in Christ for the forgiveness of their sins, that their sins are washed away because they've been atoned for by Christ. And they, in their baptism, people are buried with Christ and raised with him, all resurrection, death and resurrection talk. And so what happens is that the hope that we have as Christians is not a hope that somehow the uncertainty I'm experiencing right now will give way to some miracle. Instead, our hope is that even though we die, yet will we live, because we are in Christ, that the grave will not have the last say even with us, because it has not had the last say with Christ, and we are in him. And so rather than giving us the sure and certain promises that are given to us in Scripture that are attached to Christ's vicarious death on the cross for our sins and his bodily resurrection, Perry here in this narcissistic kind of allegorizing of the text is making promises for God that God has not made. And as a result of it, he's misleading and deceiving people and setting their hope and expectation up in a way that really is dangerous, because it'll cause them to be dashed to pieces when God doesn't provide the promised miracle as Perry Noble led them to expect was coming.
And he is leapfrogging the true purpose of Christ's suffering, death, and resurrection. The whole issue of the forgiveness of sins is just, I don't even know where it is, because this just becomes an object lesson for waiting for your miracle.
No, that's absolutely correct. It's, you just need to follow the example now of of the Jesus's disciples and these women as they were experiencing uncertainty on Saturday, which gave, you know, which then led to their miracle on Sunday. But the funny thing is that the text actually doesn't talk about all of the uncertainty and anxiety and things that they suffered on the Sabbath day, on Saturday. In fact, all of the gospel narratives pretty much end with Christ being put into the tomb, and the story then picks up again on Easter Sunday morning. Jesus' Sabbath rest in the tomb is marked by a void in Scripture, and so he's putting stuff in there that just doesn't exist. But keep in mind, he claims that God, the Holy Spirit, is the one who laid this message on his heart. So this information about the women experiencing uncertainty on the Sabbath is, that's all part of the direct revelation that Perry Noble is claiming here.
So what should we be listening for in this last example?
Okay, last one is Perry Noble now talking about how, the resurrection has something to do with not only overcoming uncertainty, but also now overcoming the things that would cause us to have fear in our lives.
Well, we're all scared of something. We're all scared of something. But the Bible says the guards shook. They became like dead men. Now, I was thinking about this. They're not just the guards. In fact, you can write next to it Roman, the Roman guards. These weren't just the rent-a-cop guys. These were Roman guards. Roman soldiers dominated the world at this time. When a legion of Roman soldiers showed up, your party was over. They were going to take what they wanted to take. They were going to do what they wanted to do. And there were at least four guards at the tomb. Swords, slings, armed, ready for action, ready for a fight. And one of the most powerful forces on earth when it came into the presence of God shook and went down at his feet. And the reason that's so important is because I don't know what kind of fear you're dealing with today. I don't know what kind of uncertainty you got going on in your life. But here's what I am going to tell you. Because he lives, what you fear will ultimately have to fall at your feet if you'll just keep on moving the way Jesus is calling you to move. Because there is no fear that he can't conquer. And there is no enemy he will not defeat. He is alive.
All right, Chris. You'd think that if God had actually given him and inspired directly this message, he'd at least get the fact that the guards at the tomb were Jewish temple guards, not Roman guards. But go ahead. What do you have to say in response?
Don't let any historical facts get in the way of this inspired message, Todd. I mean, you just got to go with what the Spirit's up to today, apparently. Yeah, this is a mess because he's literally claiming that God is going to cause the things that are causing you fear in your life, that he's going to cause those things to bow down to you and quiver in your presence because the guards that were placed at the tomb of Christ were shook in fear and were brought to their knees when Christ came out of the tomb. And see, it just makes perfect sense because that's what happened with Jesus. That's what's going to happen to you. So are you afraid because you're in debt up to your eyeballs and you have bill collectors calling you? Well, don't worry about that because Jesus is alive. He's going to cause those bill collectors to shake at your feet because, Jesus came out of the tomb. I mean, not only does this not make sense, I mean, this isn't even lucid thought. I mean, this has nothing whatsoever to do with the resurrection account. And again, keep in mind, New Spring Church, I think they're up to like 17 multi-site campuses now across the state of South Carolina. And, I mean, New Spring Church is like the church that people go to in South Carolina. And this is the message that they heard. And they were not pointed to Christ and him crucified for their sins and bodily raised again for their justification. They were basically taught absolute, abject nonsense under the pretense that this is what God the Holy Spirit laid on the heart of Perry Noble. And, I mean, if you just apply yourself a little bit to the biblical text and look at it in context and look at what the apostles themselves wrote regarding the theology attached to Jesus' death and resurrection, you would realize that everything that Perry Noble said is utter nonsense, and he, contrary to his claim, did not receive this from God the Holy Spirit. He may have received it from a spirit, but it wasn't the Holy Spirit. And, you know, and so, I mean, this is just like a quintessential example of exactly what is wrong in evangelicalism today, where they have no clue how to handle any biblical text, and they constantly are twisting it in a way that you will never actually hear Christ placarded in the way the apostles placarded Christ and what he has done for us.
Just 1 minute to address another concern here, and that is all of this seems to kind of fit into a context of, you know, man's real problem is that he suffers from suburban angst or kind of existential neuroses or something, that he's just beset with worries and fears and he's neurotic. And the answer then is just to tell them, soothe them with these happy allegories.
Yeah, this is an example of teaching for shameful gain the things you ought not to teach, or as Paul writes in 2 Timothy 4, you know, scratching itching ears for those who will no longer endure sound doctrine. You know, this is just bizarre, because the real problem that we all face is that we were born into this life, conceived dead in trespasses and sins, and at enmity with God, under the dominion of the devil himself, and, you know, subject to slavery to the world and even our own sinful natures. And we've got the good news that Christ has broken into history. God himself is born of the Virgin Mary, and he comes in order to pay the penalty for our sins, and there is life in him and freedom from sin that is offered, and all of this is given as a gift by grace through faith. And these are amazing gospel promises, and this gets to the root of our problem, not just the symptoms. And yet these seeker-driven guys, all they ever really do is address the symptoms of our sin, but never really get to the root and the real solution that's offered in Scripture for our real problem.
What's on tonight on Fighting for the Faith?
We are at our final contestant for this year's Worst Easter Sermon of the Year contest. We're going to be listening to Stephen Furtick's Easter sermon entitled A Tomb with a View, which apparently the resurrection is all about changing our perspectives.
Oh, boy. You can listen to Chris Roseborough in Fighting for the Faith right after the live broadcast of Issues Etc. in about a half hour at piratechristian.com, piratechristian.com. Pastor Chris Roseborough is pastor of Consfinger Lutheran Church in Oslo, Minnesota, and host of the internet talk show called Fighting for the Faith. Chris, thank you very much.
Thank you, Todd.
When we come back, it's time to play a little game with you, our listeners, on this Friday afternoon. We're going to spend some time listening to four sound bites, the four sound bites we've assembled from this week's audio. And then after you have listened to all four of the sound bites, you give us a call, 1-877-623-MY-IE, 877-623-6943, and you vote for Issues Etc. Soundbite of the Week. You can also vote by sending an email, talkback@issuesetc.org, sending us a tweet at IssuesETC, or vote at our Facebook fan page, facebook.com/issuesetc. Also, your chance to win the LPR bundle package, and I Have Issues t-shirt, and Issues Etc. travel mug, pen, and notepad right after this. Thanks to the following congregations for standing with us by joining the Issues Etc. 300. Grace Lutheran, Henderson, Nevada. Faith Lutheran, Orange City, Iowa. Bethany Lutheran, Fairview Heights, Illinois. Bethlehem Lutheran, North Zulch, Texas. Risen Christ Lutheran, Arvada, Colorado. Trinity Lutheran and Grace Lutheran, Wichita, Kansas. Emmanuel Lutheran, Perryville, Missouri. Risen Savior Lutheran, Basor, Kansas. St. John Lutheran, Champaign, Illinois. Trinity Lutheran, Auburn, Nebraska. Holy Trinity Lutheran, Columbia, South Carolina, Grace Lutheran, Elgin, Texas, Gethsemane Lutheran, Marion, Ohio, and St. John Lutheran, Springfield, Pennsylvania. Find out how your church can support this worldwide outreach by including Issues Etc. in your mission or advertising budget. Just go to issuesetc.org, click support, and print a one-page flyer. When your congregation becomes a congregational sponsor, we'll publicize your congregation on the radio, at our website, and in the Issues Etc. journal.
Even if your child has mild to moderate autism, learning disabilities, attention difficulties, or other learning challenges, he can receive a classical Christian education. The Simply Classical curriculum was created by Issues Etc. guest Cheryl Swope, an author, educator with a master's degree in special education, and homeschooling mother of twins with special needs. The Simply Classical curriculum has become an answer to prayer for parents and schools. Visit classicalspecialneeds.com and save $5 with the coupon code LPR.
The 27th Annual Congress on the Lutheran Confessions, sponsored by the ACL and Luther Academy, is April 6th through the 8th in Bloomington, Minnesota. The Confessional Lutherans for Christ's Commission will present two seminars. On Tuesday, April 5th, Pastor Rob Jarvis offers an overview of the Reformation and our confessions. On Wednesday, April 6th, Pastor Jeremiah Johnson presents Catechesis Begins in the Home, Practical Ways to Pass on the Faith to Our Children. Learn more at theclcc.org.
An oasis in the desert of pop American Christianity, you're listening to Issues Etc.
I like to think of the deaconess vocation as driven by two things, the love of Christ and the needs of our neighbor.
Issues Etc. regular guest Dr. James Buescher, Director of Deaconess Studies at Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana, on the vocation of deaconess.
First, the deaconess is moved by the love of Christ, who came not to be served, but to serve. Yet I think we can also see the profound needs around us, broken families, loneliness, despair. Deaconesses help the church to become a true family that manifests the love of Christ in our love for one another, and especially for those in need.
For more information on the Deaconess Studies program at Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana, visit ctsfw.edu or call Concordia Theological Seminary at 1-800-481-2155, 800-481-2155.